Are you encountering challenges in crafting project monitoring and evaluation plans? Have you experienced setbacks in implementing M&E activities? Do you find yourself facing resistance from certain individuals or teams regarding M&E efforts? Take a moment to reflect on these common hurdles. You are not alone, and there are solutions we can explore together in this podcast.
This is the Monitoring and Evaluation Boost with Godfrey Sankaba. Every week, we share tips and practical stories to help you master the monitoring and evaluation job and perform it to your best. If you haven't yet, please take a moment to hit that subscribe button so you're automatically updated about new episodes. And that way, you can continue to grow your M&E career every day. It also helps to show your support to this podcast and improve its ranking on the platform. We really appreciate that effort. Now, let's get started.
Hello, and welcome to the Monitoring and Evaluation Boost podcast. I am Godfrey Sankaba, your host and founder of this podcast. Here, we are dedicated to helping both new and experienced professionals in monitoring and evaluation profession to grow and thrive in their careers. Look, navigating the world of monitoring and evaluation can be challenging, and it's all too common for professionals in this field to encounter obstacles to their career path. But fear not, I am here to provide you with support and guidance you need to master the complexities of M&E and achieve meaningful impact in your work. Whether you're just starting out in the field or looking to take your career to the next level, the Monitoring and Evaluation Boost podcast is your go-to resource for practical insights, expert advice, and actionable strategies to help you succeed in M&E. So get ready to boost your skills, elevate your career, and make a difference in the world of monitoring and evaluation. Episode 22, Gaining Stakeholder Support for Monitoring and Evaluation Activities. The significance of stakeholders in monitoring and evaluation, which I will be calling M&E activities, holds a special place in my heart, bringing to mind my bachelor's degree celebration party, an event that marked a monumental achievement in my family. Being the first among 38 siblings to attain a bachelor's degree, the milestone was profound, particularly within a resource-constrained environment where such accomplishments are rare. As the prospect of celebrating this achievement loomed, a cascade of questions flooded my mind, each crucial to the success of the impending party. How would I organize the graduation festivities? Whom should I invite, and what drove their inclusion? Who was most interested in the invitee's success? And crucially, who would provide the financial support needed to make the celebration happen? In thinking about these questions, I carefully crafted a plan, reaching out to individuals whom I knew cared deeply about commemorating this educational milestone. From my always supportive mother, whose unwavering encouragement drove me toward academic success, to my extended family members, whose dreams mirrored my own, each person held a stake in this significant occasion. Moreover, my university professors invested in seeing me smoothly transition into the professional world, and my group of friends embarking on similar career paths were vital parts of this celebratory picture. By actively engaging these stakeholders in the planning process and inviting them to the graduation ceremony, I recognized their intrinsic connection to my education journey. Their collective excitement and support were essential to the ceremony's success, highlighting their importance as stakeholders in my bachelor's degree achievement. This story mirrors the essence of stakeholder engagement in M&E endeavors, an indispensable aspect of fostering success. But who exactly are stakeholders? Who is a stakeholder? To begin, a stake represents an interest. Anyone with an interest holds a stake in something. If that interest lies in M&E, then they are M&E stakeholders. Why do they have a stake in M&E? Let me give you examples of what makes some people, teams, or entities to have a stake in M&E. As I discuss these four reasons, think about who at your workplace fits this description. So an M&D stakeholder has a stake in M&D because, number one, their work operations are affected by or depend on M&D. For instance, the marketing team relies on project performance reports generated through M&D to prepare communication briefs for funders. Without accurate and timely M&D data, the marketing team may struggle to effectively communicate project outcomes and secure funding for the project. Number two, they have an interest in M&D because their operations affect processes, approach, and/or resources for M&D. Let me explain. Take an example. If M&D is separate from program operations, then the planning and budgeting process of this team directly influence how M&D is conducted. This affects the timing of M&D activities and the availability of resources needed for effective monitoring and evaluation efforts. Number three, on why stakeholders have a stake in M&D, their decision-making relies on M&D insights. Stakeholders often make critical decisions based on insights driven from M&D data. For example, senior management relies on M&D reports, assess project performance, and make strategic decisions about resource allocation, program expansion, course corrections. Number four, their accountability is linked to M&D results. There is an entity, project team, or individual whose accountability is linked to M&D results, then they are a stakeholder. So stakeholders may be accountable for achieving certain outcomes measured through M&D. For instance, project managers are accountable for meeting targets and objectives, which are evaluated through M&D activities. Failure to achieve these results can have implications for their performance evaluations or funding allocations. So they are M&D stakeholders because their work operations are affected by or depend on M&D. Secondly, their operations affect the processes, approach, and/or resources for M&D. Number three, decision-making relies on M&D insights. And lastly, four, their accountability is linked to M&D results. The list of people, teams, or entities that fit the description of M&D stakeholders is endless. Let's look at examples. Examples of M&D stakeholders. Number one, staff implementing the project. These are individuals directly involved in implementing project activities on the ground. They are M&D stakeholders because they contribute valuable insights and data to M&D efforts through their day-to-day work and interactions with the project beneficiaries. Another category of stakeholders for M&D are partners, project partners, organizational partners. Partnerships with other organizations or entities can greatly influence the success of a project. Partners may contribute resources, expertise, or access to networks and communities, all which impact on M&D activities and outcomes. Another category of stakeholders that you need to consider always for M&D activities are volunteers, project volunteers. Volunteers often play essential roles in project implementation, particularly in community-based initiatives. Their perspectives and contributions should be considered in M&D activities, as they may have unique insights into the community dynamics and project impact. Fourth category of stakeholders are funders or donors. Donors provide funding and resources to support project activities. They have a vested interest in seeing their investments yield results and may require specific M&D data and reports to assess project effectiveness and accountability. Another category of M&D stakeholders are community and/or participants. How could we forget them? The communities and individuals directly affected by the project are perhaps the most important stakeholders. Their input and feedback are critical for ensuring the relevance, effectiveness, and sustainability of project interventions. Engaging them in M&D activities help capture their experiences needs and preferences. For some organizations that have several offices from the country to the field, international office, global office, and others, or any support teams that are above the project are also your stakeholders. Support teams based in the country office, regional office, or global office, such as administrative, logistics, or technical support staff, provide essential services to project implementation. Their coordination and collaboration with field staff are integral to the success of M&D activities. Again, the list of M&D stakeholders is endless, but you need to choose the right ones and be clear on the interest and how you leverage them for the success of M&D activities. This process is what we call stakeholder analysis. I've always found stakeholder analysis value-adding. I recommend you do a stakeholder analysis for your M&D activities. Conducting a stakeholder analysis helps identify who should be involved, to what extent, and why. By understanding the stakeholders' interests, roles, and resources they bring, project teams can effectively plan and execute M&D activities to achieve project goals and maximize impact. Think about a stakeholder analysis as a structured framework for describing each stakeholder, their role, the level of knowledge, resources, interests, and how you harness their contributions to drive M&D activities to success. Like I've said, the list of stakeholders can be short, long, or endless. Identifying stakeholders and their interests can be a simple or complex process, depending on your skills, resources, tools available, and organizational requirements. Utilizing stakeholder analysis matrix can streamline the process of identifying stakeholders and their interests in M&D activities. Probably you've heard about stakeholder analysis matrix. It's a common tool we use in project design to identify stakeholders. But in M&D, we contextualize that only focus on those stakeholders that have interest in M&D. Imagine a stakeholder analysis matrix as a table with rows and columns. Each row represents an identified stakeholder, and the columns contain descriptors to describe each stakeholder. If you need to complete an M&D stakeholder analysis, here is a list of issues you should consider. Number one, name of the stakeholder, team, organization, or any applicable entity. So this could range from individual staff members to the entire teams or departments within your organization. At individual level, for example, this could be a significant staff or based on their role within the organization who may be significantly supportive or opposed your M&D activities or plans. Mark my word, as you are doing your analysis, don't only enlist those people, individuals or teams you think are supportive of the M&D activities. We also included those who will be opposed to the M&D activities. Number two, in terms of descriptors, stakeholder description. Yes, the name of the stakeholder. Now let's describe the stakeholder. Once you've identified the stakeholder, describe them. Provide details about who the stakeholders are and any unique characteristics about them. Number three, potential role in the development of the new initiative. You've identified the stakeholder, who they are. You've given us a short description in terms of the characteristic. What role do you envisage they will play in your M&D activity? What specific interests, roles, and responsibilities and potential contributions or limitations do they have? Number four, describe the level of knowledge on the issue, the level of knowledge of this stakeholder on the issue or on the M&D activity or on the evaluation policy you're trying to develop. What specific expertise do stakeholders possess? How well informed are they about the issue? Maybe they don't know anything, but they hold strategic power or resources. In this case, you also enlist the kind of training or awareness that you will provide to stakeholders you judge to be lacking the knowledge. The fifth descriptor here is the level of commitment. How supportive or opposed are the stakeholders to the new initiative, to your M&D activity? Assess their degree of commitment, the reasons behind it, considering their vested interests. Sixth will be the availability of resources. What resources do stakeholders have at their disposal that could support or hinder the M&D activity? These resources include staff, volunteers, funding, technology, information, and influence. Lastly, identify potential limitations or barriers stakeholders may face in participating or supporting the initiative or the M&E activity, such as financial constraints or lack of personnel or political barriers. Completing a stakeholder matrix ensures the inclusion of all relevant stakeholders and diverse voice relevant to your M&E activity. The results of the stakeholder analysis help you to understand how to engage positively during the design of your M&D initiative or activity. Lastly, the stakeholder analysis helps you to anticipate factors influencing effective M&D activities implementation. So far, I've talked about the typical stakeholders in M&D. I've also described the stakeholder analysis and how to use it to increase your understanding of the key stakeholders in M&D and how to leverage them to improve the design and implementation of M&D activities. Based on my experience, which is nearly 2 decades, here are the 7 tips that I have found helpful in engaging M&D stakeholders. And I will explain these tips while going back to the example I started with about my bachelor's degree celebration party. Tip number 1. Foster open communication. Encourage transparent communication channels between stakeholders and M&D teams. Once you have identified the stakeholders, provide regular updates on project progress, challenges, and outcomes, and also create opportunities for stakeholders to share feedback, concerns, and suggestions. In the bachelor's degree celebration story, which I mentioned at the start of this podcast, I maintained open communication with family members, my professors, and friends about the upcoming graduation party. This open communication helped ensure that everyone was on the same page and could contribute ideas and support for the event. Second tip is to build trust. When you're working with stakeholders, it's very important to build trust. Establish credibility and build trust with the M&D stakeholders by demonstrating competence and integrity. Actively listen to stakeholders' perspectives and demonstrate empathy towards their concerns, and follow through on commitments and deliver on promises made with stakeholders. So as you work with stakeholders, you're making commitments, you're making promises, they're bringing their talents and their resources to the table, their ideas to the table. They should have confidence in you that you follow through on them. And where some stakeholders are showing resistance, please be empathetic, understand their story, and work towards an agreeable position. Sometimes activities that you want to do may not be implemented so soon based on all these barriers. Demonstrate that you're understanding and you're not forcing these activities on them. For my bachelor's degree graduation ceremony, I recall that over time I'd built trust among my family members, professors, and friends. And I did this through interactions and support leading up to the graduation. The trust allowed me to rely on this network for assistance in organizing and celebrating the milestone. You will be needing these stakeholders to implement some of the activities for your M&D plans. They need to believe that you believe in them. They need to know that you are supporting them. They need to trust you. Number 3, address conflicts. The road will not be without hurdles. Indeed, there will be potholes. It will not be smooth. You will conflict, you will disagree. We actually do when we're building robust monitoring and evaluation plans. When I'm implementing an MRD system, we're all different, brought to the same project. We are bound to conflict. So nothing in this world is immune to conflicts. As you work with M&D stakeholders, anticipate potential conflicts with or among stakeholders and proactively address these conflicts. Be sure to facilitate constructive dialogue and mediation to resolve disagreements. In all, focus on finding mutual beneficial solutions that align with project goals and stakeholder interests. For my bachelor's degree graduation ceremony, I recall sharp disagreements with some of my relatives on the venue of the ceremony, whether to hold it at home or at a rented place like a hotel or community hall. I addressed this conflict through constructive dialogue and finding compromises that satisfied all parties involved. For example, we held the ceremony at one of the hotels in our neighborhood, while at the same time, I provided transportation to the elderly relatives who would otherwise not have made it. This is one of the reasons the elders wanted it to be at home. because they couldn't move. Some were too old to move. Addressing conflicts with stakeholders helps maintain harmony and cooperation within the group. Number four, tailor your engagement strategies. Recognize that different stakeholders may have varying levels of interest and influence in the project or the organization. So you must tailor your engagement strategies to meet the unique needs of these stakeholders and their preferences. Make no mistake, factors such as communication preferences, cultural differences, and power dynamics should be considered when designing your engagement approaches. I did this when I organized my bachelor's degree graduation party. I tailored my engagement strategies to fit the preferences and personalities of each stakeholder group involved in the celebration. For example, I communicated differently with family members compared to friends and professors. While it was easy for me to communicate with family members, my interactions with the professors was more formal. And with my family members, it was informal because I already knew them and I knew their style. And formality basically would not win over any of my family members because they would really take it as too much, it's too high. Fifth tip is to provide opportunities for participation. Engage stakeholders in decision-making processes and involve them in project planning, in design and evaluation activities. Do empower stakeholders by providing opportunities for meaningful participation and input. And please, never forget to acknowledge and appreciate the contribution of stakeholders to the success of your M&D activities. Indeed, for my graduation party, I provided opportunities for participation by involving family members, professors, and friends in various aspects of the bachelor's degree celebration. Tip number six, manage expectations. Always set clear expectations with stakeholders regarding project goals, timelines, and deliverables. Communicate openly about potential challenges or limitations that may arise during project implementation. Manage stakeholder expectations by providing realistic assessments of what can be achieved within given constraints. Remember in the stakeholder analysis, I talked about you describing who the stakeholders are, the level of knowledge, the resources they have, and the constraints. Some of the stakeholders are too knowledgeable. Some of them would want to help you beyond what you can even handle. So when you come up with a new approach to data collection, marketing team may be willing to invest in you. Might pay. Please don't overpromise. The new data collection app is going to solve everything that the market team needs. Number seven, and lastly, celebrate successes. Recognize and celebrate achievements and milestones reached through implementation of your M&D activities. Acknowledge the contribution of stakeholders in the design of your M&D plan or in the implementation of the M&D system or execution of activities. Appreciate their support. Use celebrations as opportunities to reinforce positive relationships and stakeholder engagement. Best that you design these M&D activities with a specific milestone, and every milestone you reach, give acknowledgement. Acknowledge, call them out for all of their support. If you want to implement a new M&D system, you need to train, you need to roll out, you need to design the system, celebrate that achievement. You want to train the rollout, celebrate once that is complete. Then you want to set up the new tools. Once new data is in, analyze that data, celebrate that achievement, thank everyone, then work on sustainability continuously. If you do a data quality assessment based on the implementation of the system you designed, and that is good, please celebrate it. Again, given you seven tips, and I will summarize them quickly. Number one, foster open communication. Number two, build trust. Number three, address conflicts. Number four, tailor engagement strategies. Number five, provide opportunities for participation. Six, manage expectations. And seven, celebrate success. By implementing these practical tips, you or your M&D team can foster positive relationships with stakeholders, enhance collaboration, and ultimately achieve greater success for your M&D initiatives. In wrapping up today's episode, we have delved into the crucial role of stakeholder engagement in monitoring and evaluation activities. We have explored the importance of conducting stakeholder analysis, utilizing tools like stakeholder analysis matrix, and understanding stakeholders' interests and levels of commitment. By actively involving stakeholders throughout the monitoring and evaluation process, we can enhance decision-making, gather support for our initiatives, and ultimately drive positive change in the project, in the organization, in the institution. So, my dear friends, as you embark on your own M&D projects, remember to prioritize stakeholder engagement and apply the insights shared in this episode. Foster open communication, build trust, and address conflicts proactively to ensure success of your M&D initiatives. Those of you who are eager to explore this topic further, I encourage you to seek out additional resources and to continue learning about effective stakeholder engagement activities. Whether through books, articles, training opportunities, there is always room to deepen your understanding and refine your skills in stakeholder management. I want to extend my heartfelt gratitude to each one of you for tuning in today. Your interest and engagement mean a world to me. If you have any feedback, questions, or topics you would like me to cover in future episodes, please do not hesitate to reach out. Your input drives the content I create and helps me to better serve our audience. Until next time, keep engaging with your stakeholders, driving positive change, and making a difference through your M&D efforts. And goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Monitoring and Evaluation Boost with Godfrey Senkaba. Please let us know your comments or any topics you would like to hear. And please check out our website, www.mandeboost.com. If you have comments about this episode or experiences you would like to share regarding the ideas discussed in this podcast, please let us know. Again, please visit our website to share. That's www.mandeboost.com. Thank you.